No, greetings, listeners. I'm really hoping he's not listening. Otherwise, then, well, I'm a dead man walking. Good afternoon and welcome to Home Run with Helmed and White. As always, your drive time show this time of the day until the hour of six, as always. And, when you hear this voice and the one that is fluent in Afrikaans show off, then that means it's Home Run time until the hour of six. And we're yet here again with another exciting topics. And today's topic is in the area of wisdom, you know, the Church of Holy Wisdom that was left by the Byzantine Empire, which is now in Istanbul, Turkey. Before it was Turkey or Turkey, leave me alone, I went to a government school. That is Istanbul, Turkey, or is it Istanbul or Ankara, I'm not sure. The Church of Hagia Sophia, which was left by the Byzantines. It was a Christian church, but then, you know, the Christians started a war. They then lost the war and then lost the church. Now what was once a Christian church is now a mosque. It's known as the Church of Holy Wisdom, aka the Church of Hagia Sophia. Turns out, Sophia is, means something wisdom. Now, yes, imagine being a Sophia and you don't have wisdom. Yes, And all protocol observed, joining us is none other than Dwight Links. I don't know why people, I don't know why people do that, man. Welcome. And
what, all protocol?
All protocol observed. Yeah, today we're going to talk about wisdom, wisdom in a philosophical or any life way, but, information collection, information storage as in... collection, storage, and accessibility. And today's discussion is about library and archive services. I'm really loving this, the way that these websites are structured because, going through the website, more like a little bit in detail, going through the National Library and Archive Services website. Cool statistics of, how many libraries we have countrywide and the different types of library. Turns out not every library is for everyone. And I learned that, about 2 years ago. I learned that back in 2020. Yeah, 2019, 2020. Because for a lot of people, when I told them that I'm going to the library, they by default thought I was going to the National Library. But when they got there and didn't find me, it was like, which library? I'm like, well, I'm in the Supreme Court Library. It's like, wait, there's a library there? I'm like, there is a library there. It turns out the only people that, there are not a lot of people that know that there is a library at the Supreme Court. And a lot of people think it's this scary place where you just, as soon as you walk in there, they arrest you. No, they don't. It's just that instead of security guards at the gate, you find, men in uniform, like police officers. I know. They are very fancy. And then you take the escalator to go to, not the escalator. Yeah, that would be weird. An escalator in the library. That would be terrible. Not this library, obviously. Yeah, you have to take the elevator to go to the first floor. That's where the fancy library is. I'm showing off our fancy library.
I'm still stuck at the arrest people at the courthouse. Usually when people show up at a courthouse, in most cases, if it's criminal, you and I know the person was already arrested.
I'm not sure when was the last time you were you just took a stroll in town during the weekend. During the weekend, you find a lot of people this side of the Supreme Court, you know, just, they like to take pictures there, like, first of all, I would like to send a shout out to those people that take a lot of pictures away from Zupac, because believe me, that place have been abused. Before I came to Windhoek, most of the pictures of Windhoek I saw had the Sanlam building in the background. Sanlam. Obviously, it's easy marketing for you guys, but the whole Windhoek, this was the only place you guys could take pictures in. Every institution deserves its own library. Yeah. And this is where I think you'll find more like a picture, the national library, but on a national level. Like, in terms of distribution per institution, irrespective of whether it's an education or, education institution as in tertiary or secondary school or a ministry. They must have their own library so that people don't ask questions like, what is space? That's how you know some ish.
Well, it's a good thing that you set our discussion in that context.
Yeah.
Because obviously, earlier today, and also on our socials, we highlighted specifically Namibia's sort of like our seesaw travels between upper middle gum and lower middle gum.
Seesaw? Seriously?
Yeah. I still have a little bit of reservations in terms of the up-down maneuver we did, which it technically was up-down. So earlier today, Happy, interviewed me for the analysis about that particular social media post that we've got on our socials regarding Namibia's reclassification from upper middle to lower middle. And the metric used there, Helmut, in the reasoning by the World Bank for this move,
yeah,
is primarily based upon a subject matter like the one that we're talking about, which is also based on a subject matter that we spoke about yesterday, which is also based upon a subject matter that we spoke anywhere before yet today, at any singular point. At any point in the home run's history so far of Dwight and Helmut obviously playing the bad news bears and, the bad cop scenarios and us sometimes imagining that we're, the good, the bad, and the ugly in an Ennio Morricone Western, spaghetti Western. Yes, they were called the spaghetti Westerns specifically because of the so-called, Italian movie makers that existed in the 70s and the 60s and the 50s. But at any particular point, Helmut, we've always highlighted, and our messaging has been strong, we have to close certain particular gaps in terms of the developmental trajectory Namibia wants to take.
Mm-hmm.
And it's specifically that reasoning that the World Bank used on Tuesday, 1 July, when they reclassified us. They cited, they used one metric, which is a very flawed metric. I've explained that already. Here on also on the home run, that GDP linked to gross national income is a flawed metric. Because I will ask you straight up, Helmut, if you take GDP value and you spread it over the 3 million Namibians and you come to a total per head, per person,
mm-hmm.
of 200,000 Namibian dollars per year, I'll ask you now, where's your 200,000 Namibian dollars per year?
I will ask you that question. Now, if that's how you're classifying me, how come I have minus 14 in my bank account?
Exactly. Very good question to answer. And then the second logic that they apply...
Be kind and rewind. So GDP that we read about a lot and hear about a lot in mainstream media, especially when they're doing economic statistics, that means the value of the products or services that country have generated per specific time period, aka per year, divided by the number of people it has in the country.
No. Uh-huh. If it says per capita, uh-huh. it's divided by the amount of people.
Divided by the amount of people.
Yeah. So you find a tally out of the GDP tally,
mm-hmm.
which is a global, which is a national entity, which is a national value.
Uh-huh.
It's a national value. Value meaning what it is valued at.
Yeah.
national value divided by your 3 million Namibians.
Man, that's a lot of misinformation.
Exactly. Now,
so you are basically going to be out there telling people that the well, 200,000 per year is on average what every Namibian makes
per year. Then people show up and then they'll ask you, like, so why don't you have flying castles or high-speed bullet trains?
Okay, doesn't that, instantly have a head-on collision with the unemployment statistics?
It does. It also has a head-on collision.
And economic inequality, I can list.
It also has a head-on collision with our unknown crime statistics. I say unknown because, you know, it's not easy to get from the police, you know, what is every year's particular average? What has been the average? What were the hotspots and how does it move? And it also factors in other particular challenges. For example, you know, why does it seem like only one sector is used as the major metric for this reclassification? It speaks nothing of the robustness of tourism.
Mm-hmm.
That you and I, okay, I know about myself that because I am a fan favorite of the tourism sector. I believe that the tourism sector can be Namibia's boom.
Kapena on dando di bolise puza Shoprite. Elara kanoji tu okukupa on dando di ripevi mi pumbiwa to punga esko kere. Kajoli tere mo magine ko nyago bonita long life. Gani mo kahamano ke tere no logo no way o sindomino ko way no way. Osho okay gene zin timbu njua rumba kanithwa yo real gold. Ke tere mo ngo heta to no way no senda omino ko way no way. Tinda kufuta shivuli. Depo Shoprite Price. Ziriko sigoga hamno gayuri nuvo. Oko Shoprite akuke.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom.
Of freedom and reclassification. Welcome back. The time is 14 minutes left to the hour of 14 minutes left to the hour of 5. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. And yet again, we're here with another fascinating discussion. But before I dive in, you know, before I comment, please finish that point, because I have a comment to make based on the last time we were given that upgrade, you know, given that classification.
Yeah. So the particular point that they cite in this World Bank explainer of the reclassification discussion, mm-hmm, is that they cite Namibia's firstly GDP, GNI, gross national income, and they cite, you can anticipate what is Namibia's development trajectory. Now, the moment when I use the word development, Helmut, just like yesterday's discussion about the financing for sustainable development discussion that you and I focused on as well, it all plays in tandem, because nothing happens in isolation. I'll emphasize that again. Nothing happens in isolation. Now, for now, let us ignore discussions, for example, like what is the benefit of that reclassification or what is the negative of that reclassification?
Mm-hmm.
Put that one thing aside. The downside of looking at these labels, these categories that the World Bank has, lower middle income, upper middle income, and upper income countries, is that it highlights in bare bones viewpoints, how robust a country's economy is. So when I say how robust in a country's economy is, you and I did the Finnish education example, right? Which aims to empower people with as much skills, and they've been working on that template and they've been perfecting it since the 1950s up until now. So it's not a copy and paste, you know, get rich quick scheme, trying to illustrate to you how quickly you can quickly download and apply a change. No, it doesn't happen overnight. Then you get to another scenario, for example, where I was scared to find out how other societies already advanced. So Helmut, I threw a very negative story back in last month. There was a school shooting that happened in Austria, in the city of Graz. Just to find out, the reporter said, I quote, and I looked it up, high school in Austria starts at the age of 10.
What?
I'll say it again. High school in Austria starts at the age of 10 until 15.
High school.
I had to look it up.
I thought you said high school.
High school starts at the age of 10 in Austria. They have a blend of TVET, skills development, and theoretical skills development in order so that the child has the best pathway to select from. So it's a combination of both.
Academic or technical?
Yeah. The same like the Finnish system. 100% free, 100% mandatory until 16 years of age. 16. Keep that in mind. Until 16. A thing can only be mandatory for someone, for a demographic in your country, if you know what you want that person to do after that age. Yes, let it sink in, Helmut. Remember back to our Finnish analysis.
Mm-hmm.
It was also a blend of both. If you're not theoretically inclined, you fall into the practical vocations,
yeah,
the skills development there, but you still end up at the same university as the other kid that did the theory, and vice versa. The kid that went the theory path can still end up at the same university as the kid that does the practical part, the practical only part. And that is also 100% free, completely publicly subsidized in the lot. Now, if you go look at those particular indexes from, or the index from the human development index, where Namibia scored that, 100 and something. We were 136 or 135. We were even behind an island nation of all nations that has lesser people than Windhoek in it. But we were so low as a country. The important thing that you need to extrapolate from what I just highlighted, what you and I all obviously also spoke about,
yeah,
beforehand on many occasions, has been an indicator of what do you actually want to achieve. And when you say what do you want to achieve, how do you achieve that particular goal? Now, today, we're actually going to brag a little bit, dear listeners, because we've got a little bit of a positive element to our information systems discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Namibia has strong library service, library installations, because our discussion today is based upon Namibia's information system, which is the library network and infrastructure system. That is strong enough. Close to 11,000 people made contact back in 2024. We have the audio of the director of the Namibia Library and Archive Service, Madam Sara Negumbo, where she highlighted the positives and she also highlights the negatives. The important thing that she highlights there, Helmut, is that how many of these installations we have across the country and what role they play. And remember your basis that we built from when, yeah, you said you people didn't know that there was a library at the Supreme Court, or was it the High Court?
Yes, yeah, Supreme Court.
The Supreme Court. So too was it also led last year. Remember when I came back with that school library, talking point for us, that I found out right there,
mm-hmm,
that the Ministry of Mines and Energy has a library on everything geology. Everything, dear listeners. You can walk literally into that ministry. You ask the receptionist or the help desk there, that's there in the front. Not that I'm, you know, promoting their help desk facilities. But you can ask that person if you can view certain, you know, you can access their library. Which is a boon, Helmut. Which is a benefit.
You know, in the same way, you know, in the same way that, you know, in the same way that, yeah, in the same way that you have websites, every, you know, every business, every SOE, every ministry has a website where you can access all the information that you'd like to know, both past, present, and future projections in terms of, in terms of planning, what, you know, what are they up to, what projects are they running, are they running. You can find all this information at some websites that are not functioning. I mean, that are functional because, well, some of them will be like, hey, insecure. Now,
Well, to the benefit of that website
That
I love complaining about.
Yeah.
That website, remember, was the one that gave me the marine spatial planning, sort of like the policy document based upon it.
Yeah.
And the marine spatial planning was the insightful discussion based upon all activities that you're going to commit in our national waters. From tourism to cultural to fishing.
So, so all the activities that you are conducting in national waters, all the, you know, the ways that are, you know, that you can go about doing it, the right offices that you can visit to get the right authorizations for you to go about your activity.
Okay. But that point, you need to wait there. Even though I have that policy document, just hold up there, Helmut, because you remember what a policy document says. This is our vision.
This is
how we want to get there.
Yeah.
Certain things are in place, but this is what we want it to be.
Yeah.
So, you know, plugging you with the right people? No.
Not knowing a guy who knows a guy, Dwight.
This is, but that's technically what that plan said.
Yeah, look, okay. Now, the director early on in her audio, one thing that she points out is that the reason behind, you know, why it's a good idea and, you know, to actually have why it's important to have, you know, libraries and archive services, more like the institution, like one which is, she's a director of, is for the lifelong learning and the preservation of knowledge, obviously. And it must be, open to, open to the public.
Yeah.
And now this again brings us into, you know, takes us back, I think, last year when we were talking about third spaces.
Yes, that's a good point. Yes, Helmut. Hey, man, if I could get you first bump here, but that's a good point, Helmut.
You are not taking any money, you know, you are not paying to get in there to gather, you know, information on any topic that you like to read on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any topic that you want to read on, you can just go to any library. All you just have to do is fill in, you know, their attendance register because they also need that for their own, you know, statistics.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then, while you just get in there, then find the right, a shelf or the right, the right shelf that has the books that you prefer to read, everything from psychology, mathematics, science, fictions, everything you can read, and then you have, there you go. Now, again, it also makes, makes life easier for those ones that are involved into the, a dispensation of knowledge. Take teachers, for example.
Yeah.
If they are going to prepare their, they're going to prepare their lessons, their lessons, or they want to dig up a subject on a on a certain topic. Now you have a lot of options. You can just sit and chat GPT your way out of it, or you can just walk in a library and get this information. The difference between doing it via ChatGPT and working in a library is that your future wife could be in the library. It's definitely not in AI, that's for sure. But
wait, Helmut. No. There are certain safe spaces, my guy.
Yeah.
You know, you could at least have said you could find your wife in church, you know, but.
I don't know, for some reason, man. I started fearing church girls a few weeks ago.
Okay. I won't traumatize you there by asking you to go and recount said particular experiences.
Let's wait until we get married. My question was, if I die tomorrow, Yeah, now I'm out of this. Now, okay, a big library and archive. Someone is praying for me. Is praying, you know, someone is praying holy water on their radio and praying for me. Amen. I receive.
Yeah.
But, yeah, now we have 2 minutes before the hour of five.
Yeah.
And if you just tuned in, you're listening to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM with an invisible mic.
Yeah, we've got a guest in the studio, but you know what?
Yeah, no,
he's more selfing us than anything else.
In a minute and a few seconds, we are going to take a commercial break, and then on the other side, we will play you the audio of the director of Namibian Library and Archive Services. Actually, you know, that word archives is the reason why we need libraries, because you have no idea how that word confused the heck out of me. It's archive and achieve. I always mix them up in terms of spelling, like a lot. It's one of those words that I'm never forgetting thanks to the chaos it gave me in high school. Like a lot. I swear. Now, which one is
WhatsApp? Just, you guys, don't worry. We'll quickly be taking our short ad break right now.
Thank you. Yeah. We have our commercial break coming up. So, it's, archives and, archives and achieve. Holy cow, those words. But that was in high school.
Are you sure it's not anchovies?
Anchovies.
Are you still buying data hoping it will last? Then switch to Paratus. Buying gigabytes is so old school. With our mobile LTE prepaid packages, you take charge, as we invest in time on our network enjoying the freedom of uncapped data. When you buy a 1-day, 7-day, 14 or 30-day package, you get uncapped data usage for the duration of the package, no matter how much data you use. Explore our range of Paratus mobile LTE prepaid packages and enjoy the speeds of up to 10 megabytes per second. And most importantly, remove the uncertainty about how long your data will last. Contact us today at 083-300-1000 or visit our website at www.paratus.africa/Namibia. Terms and conditions apply.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news! Impa just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Impa? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Welcome back. It's a minute past the hour of five. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM, and we are talking about a library and archive services. And before we continue, sharing our points of view on a lot of different things using different sources on this subject, how about we take a listen, to that audio. Now, shall we? Now, the audio that you are listening to is the voice you'll be listening to is the voice of Sarah Negumbo, who is the director of Namibia Library and Archive Services, not Achievement Services.
No, well, anchovy services, please.
Yeah.
I was making the anchovy joke here in the studio.
In terms of achievements, that one, according to the World Bank, we are not achieving enough. But, more on that on the other side of the following audio, which is a lengthy one and a pretty, pretty rich in information. Please do stay tuned.
Director of the proceedings, Dr. Chikunjobu. librarian at the University of Namibia. Honorable Deputy Minister of Education, Innovation, Youth, Sports, Arts and Culture. Honorable Deputy Executive Director, Mr. Bumba Erasmus-Mandela. Mr. Dennis Franda, the head of the Institute and our host. Ladies and gentlemen, and all protocol observed, a very good afternoon to you all. My name is Sarah Mbumbo, and I have the honor of serving as the Director of Namibia Library and Archive Service. This afternoon, I would like to briefly share an overview of the libraries, archives, and information centers in Namibia, highlighting their functions in national development, and also the opportunities they create for access to knowledge, cultural preservation, and lifelong learning. The Directorate of Namibia Library and Archives Service, NLAS, is a central agency for the implementation of national and international standards relating to library and information work. The purpose of the Directorate is to secure equal access to quality knowledge and information for lifelong learning. And this is done through creating and maintaining professional expertise and nationwide network of libraries and information centers. NLAS is operating under the following legal frameworks. That is the Namibia Library and Information Service Act, Act No. 4 of 2000. And then we have the National Archives Act, Act No. 12 of 1992. And the Information for Self-Reliance Development, a policy framework for libraries and allied information agency for Namibia, which was approved by Cabinet on the 2nd of September in 1997. NLAS head office is currently structured with a total number of 118 approved staff positions, of which only 76 positions are filled. This includes now administrative officials, professionals, technical staff that are supporting the operations of libraries, archives, and records management services. In addition to the headquarter-based team, NLAS is also overseeing regional offices, which are staffed by librarians and archivists, and they are strategically placed across the country to ensure equitable access to library and archival services. These regional professionals they play a crucial role in implementing national programs. They are supporting lifelong learning. They are promoting information literacy. And they are preserving Namibia's documentary heritage at local levels. The Directorate is having five subdivisions. That is now the National Library of Namibia, which supports education and research through access to national and international information resources. And the National Library also collects and preserves a national published intellectual heritage. This is done through now legal deposit, and it's also done through purchasing of other library resources. The National Library is further rendering bibliographic services and services at the National Bibliographic Agency. It's also assisting in facilitating the allocation of international standard serial numbers and international standard book numbers to individuals and publishers. This is now for people that are interested in writing a book. You need to contact us and then we issue with the ICBN number or ISBN number. We also have another subdivision which is called the National Archives of Namibia. It maintains the institutional memory of government ministries, offices, and agencies. National Archives collects and preserves the national's history. This is now unpublished documentary heritage. It also supports education and research by providing access to these resources. The National Archives is further mandated to supervise and provide training in records management in all OMAS as well as prosecutors. And then the other subdivision is called Public Library Service. This is the community libraries, which is providing free and equitable access to information, fostering lifelong learning, and supporting community engagement. Public libraries are serving as community hubs for discussions, for events, and also for cultural activities. They are responsible to ensure accessibility for all, including people with disabilities. They are promoting diversity and inclusion by reflecting the needs of various populations. CLS ensure that citizens have access to information in all formats, including Braille and audiovisual for the visual impaired users. Currently, the public libraries, we are complemented by a network of 65 community libraries across all 14 regions. The fifth subdivision is called Education Libraries. These are libraries in the schools. They support school curricula by providing instructional information resources. We are also imparting skills on how to access and retrieve information for lifelong learning. ELS further supports the development and sustain the habit and culture of reading in children and also provide set of information. This is done through other activities, for example, readathon. ELS supports more than 1,884 schools around the country for them to develop functional school libraries by providing effective and adequate access to resources in all schools in order to teach the learners the necessary skills to become independent users of information. And then we have the Ministerial Library Service, providing professional expertise to supervise, support, and coordinate special libraries and information services in government. Currently, the Ministry through ELS has provided librarians to 14 libraries in different ministries. The main goal of the ministerial libraries is to provide technical and scientific information to decision makers, researchers, students, business communities, technicians, and other professionals covering the needs and services of key areas of the national economy. Honorable Minister, ladies and gentlemen, Namibia's library and landscape is diverse, and it plays a vital role in supporting education, research, governance, and community development. The country hosts several types of libraries, and each of them are serving diverse users, and they are fulfilling a specific mandate. For example, we have the University of Namibia libraries that are serving the largest student population across multiple campuses. We also have NAST. Their libraries are also offering special academic resources in science, technology, and innovation. We have IUM libraries. They are also supporting private higher education with business and management-focused resources, whereas NIPA libraries supports the professional development of public servants by providing access to specialized resources in public administration, governance, management, and leadership. And then we have also the Parliament Library in Benue, which serves members of parliament, researchers, and policymakers by providing legal, legislative, and governance-related information. Parliament Library supports informed decision-making and the democratic governance. Honorable Minister, ladies and gentlemen, allow me to touch on the major achievements that were observed between 2020 and 2024 through ENLAS. Our facilities managed to provide free public access to computers, internet, library resources, and train community members in basic ICT skills. A total number of 2.7 public members had access to library and archive services. a total number of 867,921 users. This is how the community members and lenders had access to ICT services, whereas a total number of 521,123 children have benefited from organized reading programs at schools and public libraries. We continue with the achievements. A total number of 11,443 primary learners attended literacy and numeracy programs through school and public libraries. 3,822 community members, such as the out-of-school youth, SMEs, were trained in basic ICT skills. 8,836 records were accessed at the National Archives of Namibia, and then a total number of 11,946 records were digitized. They are made accessible so that they can be accessed not only at the National Archive, but they can be accessed anywhere the user are located. Honorable Minister, ladies and gentlemen, I'll be failing in my duty if I did not bring to your attention that the achievements being celebrated here today have been realized despite numerous challenges. Our libraries, archives, and information centers continue to operate under considerable conditions. For example, we consistently faced with insufficient budgetary allocation.
Something's gotta have to be together, right? Better. Pop, but no flakes. Never. Or a goal without a celebration. And friends, but no Tassenberg.
Now that's just not right. Tassenberg. Best together. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Some things kind of have to be together, right? Imagine, pop, but no flakes. Never. Or a goal without a celebration. And friends, but no Tassenberg.
Now that's just not right.
Tassenberg. Best together. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Electronic library resources to meet the evolving needs of our users. We are unable to replace outdated computers, many of which were deployed to library as far as 2012. And we all know computers have a lifespan. So if you are talking 2012, these computers are outdated. We are unable to upgrade and expand internet bandwidth at the National Library and other public libraries across the region to improve access to digital resources and services. We are unable to procure modern digitization equipment and mass storage solution to ensure that Namibia's heritage documents are properly digitized and preserved for future generation. We are unable to provide adequate technical support to libraries in the region, which is critical for maintaining consistent service delivery. Honorable Minister, ladies and gentlemen, having indicated the challenges, it may be appropriate for the incoming ELNI board members to engage the
Welcome back. It's 17 past the hour of 5. And if you just tuned in, you're listening to Home Run with Hamd and Dwight on Eagle FM. And the voice you are listening to is one of the director of Namibia Library and Archive Services, Sarah Negumbo. Now, according to the Namibia Library and Archive Services website, Namibia has libraries in Namibia. There is a network of 64 community libraries across the country and 14 special libraries. And 56 libraries have internet. But, well, like you just had her point out towards the end that some of them are running computers that were, well, put there back in 2012.
With a need for an expansion of bandwidth needed at most of these facilities?
Yeah, but, you know, picture yourself using a computer that is, not made in 2012, no.
Probably made in 2010.
Probably, yeah, 2009, 2010. And in the tech world, that's like, you know, talking about, you know, Neanderthals, Homo sapiens.
That's like rock art, you know.
I've got to stop doing this.
That is the truth, Amu.
Oh, yeah, it's the truth.
You know, I was once made fun of by someone else. I mean, it's just as, what was it? It was like the iPhone 12 or something.
Yeah.
And I showed up there with this Xperia phone. It had a weird, its camera function was almost like it looked like a camera. Someone stuck a camera literally to a cell phone. You know, that just has the smart function to now that's
you have more of a camera than a phone.
Exactly. Now it held like this bulge at the back, you know, when you look at my phone, it had like this bulge at the back. That was the camera setting scenario.
Yeah.
And every time, if you needed to take photos, you had to slide that thing off and then it obviously launches the camera application.
Automatically.
Yeah, automatically. And then you take a photo and then the girl went like, "Yo, young, that's a loaf of bread, eh?" I was like, okay, the violence is pretty heavy. So yeah, when it comes to technology, yes, societies would love to be known or associated with the latest technologies.
Yeah.
The downside is, Helmut, and this is obviously when you and I were now discussing in, you know, off the mic, off air, while the audio was playing there of Madame Negumbo, highlighting giving the overview of the information system in the country. Just so that you know, dear listeners, what Helmut noted there, 64 public libraries and plus resource centers.
They have 64, hang on a second, 64 community libraries across the country with and 14 special libraries.
Yeah.
And what does that mean?
The special library is the resource center thing, for example. They call it a resource center. It's the ones that the ministry, I think it's the ministry of, it's MICT's special facilities, which is also the somehow problematic scenario that was highlighted once back in last year when you and I spoke about the school library discussion, particular needs for specialized personnel, not a teacher converted to a librarian or a teacher, you know, moonlighting or, you know, moonshining as a librarian.
Being a placeholder.
Yeah. No. Literally specialized librarians.
Someone that is trained specifically for that.
For schools, yes. How big that particular need is and that it's an unresolved particular need in the Namibia's education platform, because what Madam Negumbo and her department highlighted specifically is that they get told through the other directorates in the Ministry of Education, apparently the parents come and tell the teacher, you know, the teacher directorate, the one that the teachers fall under.
Yeah.
The parents highlight there's not enough libraries for the children. Now, I can obviously, in defense of any teacher or any school entity, respond back to say, but listen, it's supposed to be the parent that's supposed to be setting the example for the student or the learner at home to be a reader themselves. Because you can't expect, Helmut, you can't expect your child to be a reader if you are not a reader.
You just brought this, in a more literal than figurative way. You just brought this discussion home because we're talking about library and archive services here, and the director, the earlier, in the audio, she points out that this is for the preservation of knowledge.
Yeah.
And, you know, access to information. You are not just giving people the, you know, the resource that this is where you find information.
Yeah.
But you also have to, train them, you know, how to access this information.
Yeah.
And, believe me, anyone that have been to the National Library will just, or more like, especially those people that work there, will just tell you what a nightmare that is. Because for a lot of people, they will just take a book from the psychology section and then drop it in the math section on their way out.
Or in the children's section.
Yeah. But, again, these books are, you know, these books are labeled. These books are categories. They're given numbers and everything. There's a specific way of storing them for easy access.
Yeah.
Because if everyone just placed a book anywhere they want, it would be very difficult. It would be very difficult for me.
Don't drop your own information system, Helmut.
This is the beauty of gaming. My reflex is top notch. Yeah.
You should see when your hands are full, but you start grabbing things.
I know.
But yeah.
So now they bring the discussion home. Home part is, do you have a shelf? Even a shelf of books at home, or you just have give them a tablet and then call it a day.
And that's the other concern.
Yeah.
Because remember when I made...
How many of us have a book collection, at home?
Remember when I made the statement a little bit earlier about the Austrian education system?
Yeah.
Alongside the Finnish one that you and I already covered. Back in our May discussion, 12 May back, when we did the Human Development Index.
Yeah.
And Namibia's position of 136 out of 198 nations, ne?
Yeah.
Where even Cabo Verde, even Palestine beats us. And Palestine is not even like some parts of the world don't want to recognize it. Other parts, you know, recognize it.
Actually.
Even Eswatini beats us.
The whole part of the world wants to recognize it. Only two parts does not want to recognize. And these two have all the money and the military. So
in the world. And, yeah, they're the guys that we are applying for funding for.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how, you know. you gotta love geopolitics.
Yeah, it's ugly. So when we had to look at sort of like the first particular human development index that you find in that report, it's on page, what's this page number? It's on page 294. So Namibia is in position 136, and it speaks about various factors that you find in that table. It's from the second to the fifth column. It speaks about SDG 3, which is life expectancy at birth, which is meaning this is now obviously how many years from being born to how many years you can live as a Namibian in the country.
Mm-hmm.
SDG 4.3, expected years of schooling. SDG 4.4, mean years of schooling. So the expected years of schooling is what you know in the system, what you have in the system in education. Now, education and heritage go hand in hand, dear listeners, because education and heritage is about you knowing about Namibia's historical values, you knowing about Namibia's particular unique geography, you knowing about the developments that Namibia has championed, you knowing about what Namibia can do, for example. Don't take Helmut and I to be sort of like your flag bearers in terms of knowing all of that, because we also have to resuscitate memory banks that we thought we forgot many times back.
Yeah.
But when you look at the discussion that Helmut and I continuously engage on here on the home run, it's a discussion born from, okay, how does Namibia position itself in the subject matter? So when we talk about like the information system in Namibia, what Madam Nagumbu highlighted in that overview was it's already installed. It's there. The question is, does it really transmit the value that it's supposed to? Well, if you're sitting with computers since 2012, hey, yay, yay, brah, you can forget about it. Look, bandwidth, you can still deal with a pretty slow bandwidth discussion. You can still deal with it. You can work around latency. You can work around certain particular things. But then you've got a major issue with hardware.
You know what? You know what's the work around that?
Yeah.
I think, and this is a recommendation. You know, more like a, just one of those funny recommendations. We, my cousin and I glossed through. Because, well, he's one of the techie IT guys.
Yeah.
That, you can run any old computer if you change the operating system to Linux.
Linux takes very small space.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But now, operating Linux would be an interesting way of producing tech savvy students because, well, the reason why we, not a lot of us like Linux is because, it's the same reason people, a lot of people these days prefer a manual car than, an automatic car than a manual one.
Yeah.
You have to do everything yourself.
Yeah, you have to know where everything else is.
Yeah, now, the thing, actually why I would not recommend that is, if you have kids that are mastering Linux in high school, by the time they get to college, yeah, you better have one heck of a security system in place.
Yeah.
Because the knowledge that they're going to acquire from that, if you look at, if you look at distros like Kali, for example, it's having a lot of, tools that you can use to do a lot of, questionable things that you don't find in a standard, in more, mostly used, operating systems like, Mac and Windows, for example. But in terms of hardware, Linux would be your go-to OS. And there are like a lot of distros out there that you can run.
Yeah, there is. And there's nothing wrong with the helmet. The discussion here is just obviously a few other factors that feed up to that information system or that information installation working properly. Let's, for example, say, Helmut, our education discussion the other day about the teachers.
That iconic taste of Heineken. Loved in Germany, Amsterdam, Argentina, and Namibia. That crisp and balanced taste of Heineken. Loved around the world. Enjoy that refreshing thirst. Ah, only made possible by Heineken's unique 5-star credentials. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly. That iconic taste of Heineken. Loved in Germany, Amsterdam, Argentina, and Namibia. That crisp and balanced taste of Heineken. Loved around the world. Enjoy that refreshing thirst. Ah, only made possible by Heineken's unique 5-star credentials. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Welcome back. 29 minutes left to the hour of 6. Where were you?
Yeah. So remember back to the teachers discussion, and the unemployment element and the primary, secondary difference in terms of how many teachers we're actually producing for both levels. Né?
Yeah.
It also is based upon the robustness or the resilience of that sector. Remember, that sector plays a facilitating function to the information sector of Namibia. The information sector includes your ICT companies, the media, and your information system like the libraries, and then you get the schools. Everything is an information component. And then you've obviously got households and communities. The downside here has been, Helmut, we have a little bit of a ticking time bomb associated to the high school, the secondary school education level. Because, well, citing back to that statement that the Ministry of Education, issued when you had the protest of the
education graduates protesting.
Yeah. Back in last month in June, they were protesting. They need jobs.
Yeah.
The ministry comes out with its statement citing, listen, these are the specific acute needs that we have. There are very few Kwekwekova teachers, very few Afrikaans teachers. There's another group,
Definitely languages.
Yeah, but, and it was predominantly language. But then they also cited overall in the secondary school circuit that there's also an acute need for secondary school teachers overall. Yeah. But the acuteness gets into the language groups. They also cited that there's too many graduates who studied in the primary school
phase,
which is problematic. Now, the thing is, Helmut, you have a primary school that has to feed a high school. Not 5 primary schools feeding 1 high school. Not 30 primary schools feeding 1 high school. That is the worst of cup football, elimination, knockout round, sudden death football. I don't want to know about. Because they, you're not competing for education. You're competing for space. You're literally competing for a space. And I'll tell you now, Helmut. The downside is we are technically probably building more primary schools than we're technically also expanding or building more new high schools. I'll ask you now, Helmut, does Divundo have a high school and a primary school?
Yeah, there's a Divundo combined school.
And a combined school ends at what age? At what grade?
It's a combined, I think that is, you know, it's called combined because it comes from grade 1 to 10.
Yeah. Now, where's the cup football grades?
The cup football grades are now that one, you know, one that goes now from 8 to 12. That's the high school I went to. It's about 15 to, you know, 15.
It's supposed to be 14 to 19 or 14 to 18.
You're counting in Austrian math. But look,
no, high school is supposed to be, you become 14 in grade 8. You can't be 14 in grade 7 in a primary school.
Mm.
That is on my level or still here, you know, in Namibia.
Are you familiar with something called, you know, there's something we called the monoculture back when I was in high school. It's why, you know, it's why some of us were bullied. That was on purpose because... No, we kept making fun of guys that were repeating the same grade over and over. So,
you know, I walked around those guys. I used to smile at them. I don't want to use the other name for those guys because there were guys that were grade 7 with me and they were 17 and 16. I was like, okay.
You can't
ask, bruh, when are you going to progress?
No, you ask that, they're going to shove you in your own locker.
Locker. You just might have to jump walls. But yeah. So the information system is one that has many components to it. Because I also don't want the listener now listening to us to think, okay, it's just about libraries. Ah, who cares about the libraries? You actually need to care about the library.
No, charity begins at home, which is why, I mean, which is what takes me back to my question back, you know, the question I asked earlier.
Mm.
How many of us have a book collection at home, which fits into your question that, who should actually, you know, inspire this reading culture in these children? Because building a fancy library is not going to serve any purpose if no one is reading.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And if they don't see templates in society?
Factor in technological advancement. How many kids are willing to open a hard copy book? A lot of millennials and Gen Zs are going to gravitate towards electronic devices like a tablet, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Because of its versatility. You are going to search for something and scroll through social media. We know that social media is going to take up much of the time. But when it comes to dealing with physical books and access to information and reading, reading as a culture, it's something that I think should come from, home also should have a role to play in this. It's not just a ministry's and, teachers' responsibility.
Yeah.
Like we're on holidays when kids are on holiday now. So, what are they doing? When last did they pick up a book?
Good question, Helmut, because
also you as a papa, Oga, apart from, Revelations 13. When last did you read?
And you know what's the insightful thing with that statement you just said?
Yeah.
Our expected years of schooling, according to that Human Development Index of 2025, we're supposed to be in school for 12 years as a Namibian. What is highlighted in that discussion is that literally Namibians only spend 7.3 years in school. So I will explain how the UNDP guys came to that number.
Please do.
So they take what you're supposed to be doing, which is an audit function. Okay, you're supposed to be in school for 12 years. Good stuff. Okay. We take the whole population of Namibia. We look at the last census they had, which probably was, I don't want to step very far. But my suspicion would probably be between the 2011 census or the 2023 census, depending on which one was first available for the authors of this report. They had the whole of 2024 to look into that report, the census report, because the census report came out last year, January, not this year, January, last year, January. This year, January was the labor force survey report.
Yeah.
But if we work on what they counted and what they looked at, they took that whole 3 million Namibians. They went probably found the level of Namibians that were currently exposed to education and that completed supposed education and had some form of further education past grade 12 in, you know, higher education. And then they probably went and divided it into something. And then they came out with that 7.3. And that 7.3, Helmut, is a scary number. Because 7.3 years on education, you're supposed to be spending 12 years on school. That's just your basic education, primary and secondary. It's an ugly statistic, which then factors into the next statistic. Our life expectancy, 67. 67. That means when people become 60, you can literally count 7 years more that they will stay alive.
Someone turned 60 today.
I know. I'm feeling sorry for them.
Someone could have turned 67 today. Someone could have turned 80 and they're going, thank God I'm one of the exceptions.
67.4 years is the life expectancy, according to SDG 3 in the Human Development Index report of 2025 that the UNDP issued earlier this year.
Mm-hmm.
Namibians live until 67.4.
On average.
Now, supposedly, that is the same place that we have, that we were at in terms of life expectancy in the previous report. I think that came out in 2023 or 2022. And back then, Namibia had slightly dropped. We dropped a small space, a small one place from, I think, 135. And then Cabo Verde went in front of us. I mean, even El Salvador, that was known as the world's murder capital, or that had, what is El Salvador's capital city name? It's also, I think, El Salvador. But anyway, their capital city was known as the murder capital of the world. The whole country was actually known as the murder country of the world because of that M23 gang group that Trump was fixated with, in terms of when he came into office.
M23 is DRC, dude.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Sorry. Not that M23. MS-13. Is it MS-13? Yeah, it's MS-13. The guys that Trump was fixated with. But then we get into another particular counting factor, Ahmed. And this is where things look ugly for us as Namibians. Because it shows the trends in terms of moves, position gains, and the likes. Now, our dear friends, the Finns, are in position 12. The other country that I also mentioned, Austria. Austria finds itself in position 22 in terms of the Human Development Index rankings in terms of the moves and what had happened. Now, those guys are considered high development nations. No, very high development nations. Namibia is considered, where's our dearly beloved country, as a medium human development country. Now, if you're hit with the phrase medium, we did not move a position, Helmut. We've been stuck since 1990 in the same position, 136. Actually, from 2015 to 2023, we've been stuck in the same position. 136. Obviously, there was rapid development from 1990 up to 2014. But from 2015, we've just been stuck. And that is what feeds into that announcement that I gave Happy a little bit earlier today. The upper, lower, middle, the upper middle and the lower middle income reclassification. The unfortunate thing is, dear listeners, to translate it into even simpler terms, is that we don't innovate enough. We don't read enough. We don't generate enough data about ourselves. We don't collect enough data about ourselves. We don't share this data between each other to inform decision making. Because Madam Negumbo highlighted there that the information systems that are fall under the mandate of her directorate is there to inform both public and private, to inform policymakers, both public and private, to inform all decision makers, public and private, with regards to the most relevant up-to-date information sets at their disposal, to your disposal. The same thing that the NSA is also supposed to be doing. But I'll tell you now, I am continuously disappointed by ourselves.
Before we take a commercial break, I would, want to remind you that Fiji, Gabon, Mongolia, Lebanon, they are above us in human development. Commercial break.
It's time to win your share of 500,000 Namibian dollars in prizes with Windhoek Beer. Find one of the 100% real quotes broadcast across Namibia on billboards, in stores, in newspapers, and on social media. Buy any Windhoek Beer, SMS the underliner code to 75050, or scan the QR code to enter on WhatsApp. So, spot a quote, grab a Windhoek Beer, and you could win. Windhoek, real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly. T's and C's apply.
Lipurane ngeno wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite ofoye ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nukumona oijamoili nawa. Ninge fata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onore tatuimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ileko derewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu matatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
Welcome back to Homerun with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. Where was I?
You were still highlighting the disappointing rankings above us of other fellow countries.
I know. Sri Lanka is up there, Paraguay, Egypt, Jordan, Lebanon, St. Lucia, Mongolia, which is one of those examples that shows reminds me every time I look at the map of Mongolia, I go like, this was once a mighty empire, now has been reduced to a buffer zone between China and Russia. They're still a very beautiful country with a very good at riding horses, and it turns out making capana out of them. And I think it's a cultural thing. And also milk, by the way. But anyway, you have Bhutan, Eswatini, Eswatini, Iraq, Bangladesh. Oh yeah, El Salvador, Equatorial Guinea, Palestine, state of Cabo Verde, and then Namibia. Again, like I pointed out before before we started, it's economic inequality is one elephant in the room we're not addressing.
Yep.
And the whole demotion, if I can call it that, I think it's one of those things that's sending mixed messages, because you remember that when we were told that now, from now on, you are middle, you know, you are in an upper middle income country. Right?
Yep.
Yeah, we went like, yeah, no, we are not there yet. We should not have been promoted to that level, because there are benefits that comes with being a lower middle income country.
Mm.
Especially when it comes to access, you know, especially when it comes to accessing international financing. Something that I think a lot of people are going, "Ooh, that's a relief." But the point is, we still have to we have to invest a lot in research and development. And research and development means something that we have to accept is going to take a very long time and a lot of money. That means our education system must be revamped to the point where it can handle research and development. And now I think that's the part that makes China's model very interesting to study. Because it was pointed out, I think, when was that in 2020? That China in like less than 4 years poured more concrete than the US did in 100 years.
Mm.
Now one gentleman pointed out something interesting that you can't pour concrete to that level without doing enough research and development on the subject. And because if you look at some of the infrastructures that's coming out of China, like levitating bridges, levitating trains, that's Japan.
Mm.
Now, for them to come up with this technology, they are obviously heavy on research and development. Now, for countries like Namibia, knowledge here must be shared now. Not only knowledge about school,
mm.
but also, you know, after school, hence the lifelong reference.
Mm.
You have teachers at school telling you to study. You have all this and all the, you know, we have parents at home telling you to study. But we all know that, once you are out of that supervision area, now you're away from your teachers and away from your parents. Can you get information on your own? There's one phenomenon that there is no official statistics on it. That is something that's, a lot of private school students are known for, especially those ones that are coming from my region.
Yeah.
They've been at many occasions criticized to struggle a lot with tertiary. And that's because, private schools are very heavy, especially private high schools are very heavy on supervision. You have this class at this time, this class at that time, this class at that time, and you have this lesson at this time. So there's a lot of supervision going on that when a lot of them leave that supervision area and come to tertiary,
mm.
where no one is telling you what to do. It becomes like, it's more like you have been liberated. Now you can do whatever you want, to the point where a lot of them, after testing freedom for the first time, they abuse it to the point where they fail and then learn that tertiary, no one cares whether you're in the class or not.
Yep.
No one cares whether you have your giant headphones on, scrolling through social media or not. So it's not just about putting the information out there. It's about also teaching the people that you want to access this information, to show them how to access this information.
But it then, Helmut, is another question of the advancement of that information, the use of that information.
Like real-life application?
Yeah. Remember back in 2024 last year when you and I did the research in development report analysis that came through from the NCRST, in terms of that discussion, how many researchers do we have in specific fields?
Mm-hmm.
The greatest deficiency according to that report of 2024, because they measured up until 2022 and it could only be, publicized last year in 2024, was that we had too few researchers for the humanities subjects. Now, this is where I position the concerns that Namibia will face. So where are our researchers on Namibia's history? Where are our researchers on Namibia's psychology? aspects. Do you know that last year when I went to the, it was the, with the launch of the, what was that thing's name? It was with the launch of the psychometric system that the Ministry of Labor had introduced, which also, the ministry also now is, was no longer functioning. It was now absorbed into, justice. They brought through a psychometric system, that was launched, and, the Ministry of Labor has their own industrial psychologist. I've interviewed her before back in 2023, and mm-hmm. she was one of those people that actually promoted the particular initiative. And one of the guys that was obviously from the private sector industry asked the question, and from the unions, they asked the question, yeah, how reliable is the psychometric platform in terms of analyzing the industrial framework of Namibia? So, and I'm implying the human capital element, the capacity of the employer to invest in new skills and stuff like that. And, you know, what can they do and potentially look at? And the nice thing that the industrial psychologist of the ministry highlighted back then was that, listen, because the concern that that one gentleman from that one unionist gentleman highlighted was that it could be data or knowledge that was imported from North America or from Europe, you know, to try and sort of like satisfy a requirement, which the Ministry of Labor had to meet with regards to the International Labor Organization.
Okay, so we're adopting something and then crossing our fingers and hope it works here in the same way that it was, it worked where the research was done.
Yes, but I didn't answer yet what she said, because that was the guy's question. His fear was that this probably was based upon European or North American psychometric standards and data sets.
Mm-hmm.
And the lovely thing that the industrial psychologist responded was saying, no, the South Africans have actually done that work before. They have measured Namibian psychometric data sets. They have done it in South Africa, and they've done it in other parts of the SACU zone. She obviously left out Botswana, but she highlighted the ones where you can see market, what do they call it? Economic similarities. So where you have the same labor laws, the same companies that operate in the economies, and you have potentially the same particular kinds of economic systems in place, you know, to basically define where you're going to measure what based upon your human capital, the proponents of production, or let's rather say the monarchs of production in some cases, and ultimately what you're going to see happening in your economy. And the nice thing is, which gave me a piece of reassurance, was that there has been localized data sets with regards to measuring the psychometric framework in Namibia. But here's the thing once again. We're not expanding on that particular knowledge because it's the South Africans that sit with that knowledge. So this is someone that you had to train, right? As an industrial psychologist,
mm-hmm.
who has to know that the data set sits in South Africa. They have to leverage that data set. So potentially the knowledge is not something that's freely floating around here. And they have to import that knowledge here into Namibia. Yes, it sounds long-winded. It's probably just a small Google search and a copy and paste function and inciting and referencing according to the Association of the American Psychology Association. But the discussion once again here is you are supposed to build from that template and continuously measure yourself.
And then reach yourself, your own conclusions.
Reach your own frameworks. But every year you keep the exercise healthy. You research, you research, you research. You continue doing that, Helmut, because here's the thing. Here's another thing also. I don't know whether or not people will have jobs in the future. Not just because of AI,
mm-hmm.
but specifically because of things that speak towards what are you trying to achieve in your country? What are we trying to achieve? Because I'll ask you this right now, Helmut. Why is it that we only see selling salt here, red meat over there, uranium over there, diamonds over there, manganese and cobalt? And then it looks we've achieved some sort of remarkable standard. But we haven't sold a sneaker, a jean.
You remember the was that last year when we were talking about
the soft industries
resource case?
Yeah, and yeah. Guess what? That thing was referenced the other day again, in by the this when we did the tourism discussion.
Yeah, you see, I think to some degree we are already there. It's at this point, it's we are dealing with a 10-key situation that's waiting, you know that's waiting for us, because what was pointed out, that why do countries more often find themselves in a Dutch case situation? It's because extractive industries are very lucrative when they are running. The thing is, they don't have a long lifespan that other industries have. Yeah. Because you are not going to mine resources for an infinite amount of time. It's going to run out. But industries like tourism, for example, that's going to run for,
you don't know,
for millennia.
Yeah.
That's going to run for millennia. But a mine is going to be very profitable when it's the resource is still there. And it's finite. When it runs out, everyone that is investing in that mine will be like, well, there's nothing to invest my money anymore. I'm taking it somewhere else. So that thing is closing down whether you like it or not. I know we don't like it, but commercial break.
Kafe na o ntando di wolife puza ShopRite. Era rakano jetu o kupa o ntando di ripevi mi pumbi wa topumga esko kehe. Tarako ori terambari zomaga de goku jago right brand sunflower. Hamano na kita tu no senda o mira kongoi no goi kehe. O shugo o kape aki konyama unzi mutton peg. Kita tu no goi no senda mira kongoi no goi mo keiji. Tinda o kufuta shugulife o ShopRite price. Ziriko sugo ka hamano ga yulae nuvo. Oko ShopRite akuki.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Just a minute past the hour of six, and soon we will be handing over to a business and economic segment, guys. More like Guy, King David. So what was I? So there, we can easily fall into the Dutch case, a Dutch case trap, and the paragraph that Gabriel put up on put up on our WhatsApp on our work WhatsApp group late last year, early this year, about how the foreign direct investment is so concentrated in the extractive industry. That means if anything threatens the extractive industry, the entire African economy is cooked.
It just collapses.
Yeah. It just collapses.
Yep.
Again, it's safe to say, well, there's nothing, there's no way that's going to happen. You have to understand, before petroleum, there was, there was a sperm whale oil that was used to, in lamps. But the founding, the discovery of petroleum changed the whole script.
It
Basically, it's, if you were open,
save that animal.
Yes, thank heavens. He was like, "Whoa, you are here killing me. There are a bunch of guys that died a million years ago. Yeah. Pick them up." And, well, everyone, you know, just decided to change, to change the type of fuel that they consume from sperm whale to, you know, rhinoceros, what, T-Rexes that died a million, a billion years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, for research and development to be carried out, investment in education must be top notch.
It has to be, Helmut. And, I mean, how is it that I can make that statement that I did of Austria? High school starting at 10, age 10.
10 years in high school? What was I doing in high school? Definitely, I mean, what was I doing at 10? Definitely not in high school.
Helmut, we all were still in primary school. And yeah. We were definitely confused. And we were definitely trying
just
to...
Yeah, that's around the time where I was trying to find out why is that moon following me around.
Exactly.
Someone is in high school. Yoo-hoo. Yeah, so investment now. Well, obviously investment into education is something that, I mean, it's why we have a super ministry. It's why we have a super ministry and why it's one of those ministries that, that receives a large chunk of our national budget.
Mm.
So research and development, there is no way, there is no way around economic development without going through research and development. Mm. Every country had to go through research and development so they can, go through that industrialization phase that the U.S. went through. They had to, they invested a lot in research and development. Minus NASA, well, some of it is research, development, and stealing Nazi scientists. You know, you get to the moon. They put your eyes on the ball. It doesn't matter how questionable is the reputation of the guy that's helping you get to the ball.
Yeah.
Man, those guys are savage. But, 4 minutes past the hour of six. So, I'm still going to maintain with, we have to develop, a way of, more like, developing, developing a reading culture is something that, that falls in the hands, that it must be a responsibility of not only teachers and public, public officials, but also parents at home. Now, I grew up around people that, were afraid of going to hell so much. They decided to dedicate a large part of their life towards, God. So they had a bunch of books on religion. So, I read a bunch of them. So I grew up around books. Don't ask me what books. People, I just read everything I'd put my hands on. But, that's where my, Encyclopedia Britannica now became my favorite because they had, my uncle had this voluminous set where you can basically look for any topic. That was before Google. I had to Encyclopedia Britannica. This one is K. Everything that starts, every word that starts with K, that's where I'm going to find it.
Mm.
And you all are just searching. You people don't know a hassle. And now you have to, even if you have electronic devices, for example, because electronic devices, and no one is saying don't use electronic devices or don't study through electronic devices.
Yeah.
But because you can have library subscriptions. They are there. Library subscriptions, the whole family. But I know every time I hold my tablet, I tell myself I'm going to read something. Then I start playing video games. So that's why that's actually why I like hard books.
But here's the other thing also, Helmut. There are also differences in the book market itself. For example, like I always get told specifically the differences in publishing that takes place. We have an underserved, underdeveloped reading culture, which is a consumer market. Remember that.
Yeah.
And if you don't write a book, if I don't write a book, doesn't matter what book it is, it can be still a fictional book or it can be a non-fictional book. The discussion, the scenario is that we are what do they call that word? We are denying or we are actually sort of like contributing to some sort of a deficiency.
We're not publishing enough.
We're not publishing enough. whether it be research papers about Namibian society, Namibian culture, Namibian technology, Namibian economy. I mean, yes, Mr. Sherborne is, and you can highlight him as probably as a naturalized Namibian. He lived here for long enough, but he's still is a UK citizen. But he was someone from another country that wrote a book about the Namibian economy. And this is the fourth or the third edition, I think. The one that you and I both have a copy of.
Yeah, I think third or fourth edition.
Yeah, third or fourth edition. It's up to date up until, I think, 2022 or 2023. What is disappointing is, if anyone has to look at that book, no one else I probably have heard, not even of the fellow journalists in the Namibian economy who try to find some sort of a gotcha. They, you know, this is what the international guys outside of Namibia, the journalists say. They say, I don't want to get you with a gotcha question. Gotcha question is that, you know, that, that hidden punchline question or statement, you know, where they try to get a very enticing reaction from the, you know, the person that they're interviewing. Those guys, what I've seen internationally, the difference between us here locally in Namibia and those journalists internationally is that those guys read a lot. They read. And then everyone goes and prints a book. They write a book. A guy that is literally the embodiment of from rags to riches, Gary Stevenson, that I follow, wrote a book. Now he's being interviewed everywhere. Now I can't stand his face anymore. Another.
Okay,
we have to go. I can't stand his face. But he wrote a book.
Before you get into trouble.
But on such scenarios, Hamoud.
Yeah.
It actually means that information system is there to help fellow Namibians.
Yep.
So we have to write books so that the fellow Namibians know about the information that we know of. So that they did not know of.
I think I told you a story about how I went to my friend's house and I found this. She did say it was her sister's book. Mm. You know, Kavango region.
I hope you didn't.
Yeah, Kavango region.
You didn't.
That book is
inherited.
No, I didn't inherit it.
Oh, okay.
There's an obvious reason why. It's written in German.
Ah, that's the other disappointing thing that I discovered. There's a lot of knowledge of Namibia in German.
And there's not a lot of knowledge about Namibia in Namibia.
No, in German, in the language German.
Yeah.
Not in it's even locally would be distributed between German speakers. There's also a lot of information pre-Namibia, pre-colonial Namibia, pre-colonial South Africa that the South Africans wrote about us. That's why I was easy to say, if the South Africans knew about oil, they knew we had oil. There's no way that the oil was discovered only the other day.
All right. So the task now, more like the task that the Ministry of Education is basically low key saying is, fathers, mothers, uncles, you know, basically parents and guardians is the responsibility to,
read.
Yeah, read and develop the reading culture for those ones around us, aka the kids. I know I'm very good at spoiling my niece and nephews with candy, but reading, not one of them. Let's see what further, Mister. But until tomorrow, same time, same place on your favorite radio station, Eagle FM. From us, you'll stay blessed and stay tuned in for business and economic segment.
To all Eagle FM listeners, do you want to stand a chance to win a voucher of $500 Namibian weekly? Answer this easy question. Please tell us, what are the three colors of the USAVE logo? Please SMS your answer to 081-200-4144 and tune in every Friday between 1:45 and 2:00 to find out if you are the lucky winner. The winner will be announced every Friday live on air between 1:45 and 2:00. Participate weekly to improve your chance. We'll save at USAVE.